That's a brief background to the Northern Cape Bucket Eradication Program. MISA was appointed in 2013 by the Department of Human Settlements as one of the implementing agencies that were appointed by the Department of Human Settlements to assist with the eradication of buckets in the country. You recall, Chair, there was a cabinet target to eradicate buckets by 2014. And MISA ran a procurement process which resulted in the appointment of two contractors, Pienza Group, as well as Chikombe Business Enterprise. And these contractors, in particular Pienza, was appointed for two districts in the Northern Cape, and Chikombe was appointed for other districts in the Northern Cape. Zetia Kumutau district, district, Kasembe district, for a value of 119 million. And while it's in the process of running that contract, Chair, Amathole District Municipality approached MISA, I think it was in 2013, December, and engaged with the then CEO of MISA, Mr. Mlao Masawa, indicating that they have got the challenge of backlogs with regard to sanitation, and that doing well with regard to water, and that they are approaching DPSA for front loading so that they can eradicate their backlog. And therefore they were requesting MISA support in terms of making sure that they have sufficient capacity to be able to meet the conditions of the front loading in terms of capacity to deliver the project on time and spend the money on time. And among other considerations, Chairperson, was that MISA will be appointed by Amathole as an implementing agent of the portion of the loan that they were going to get from DPSA. Whilst we're in the process of finalizing the memorandum of agreement between Amathole, DPSA, and MISA on the implementation of the program, in April 2014, then Amathole wrote a letter to MISA indicating that they would want to participate on the MISA contract for the implementation of the bucket in the Northern Cape. And MISA responded in the same April that indeed MISA has contracts implementing a bucket eradication program in the Northern Cape, which were procured through a competitive bidding process, and there are two contractors that are running the program, and that MISA does not have objection in Amathole participating in any of the contracts. And MISA then provided Amathole with the procurement documents for the whole program, that is for both contractors, Qigong that is an enterprise and the Enra group is an enterprise, provided a much order with the appointment letters, the contracts, the evaluation reports, the certification reports, and the of course, with the sole intention that amateur they will then run their own process, satisfy themselves that indeed the contract was validly procured and was procured through a competitive bidding process as is required in terms of the regulation. And two, as you know, that is the regulation that you have got condition if you are to participate. That one, the contractor or the contract that you want to participate on, there must be demonstrable benefits for you who want to participate. And therefore you have to satisfy yourself that indeed, if I participate in this contract, there will be demonstrable benefits for me as the agent who wants to participate. And that was in April 2014. In 2014, August, Jefferson, MISA received a letter from Amazon indicating that they have appointed Sienta as the main contractor for the implementation of the sanitation program in Amazon. In the same letter, indicating that they are appointing MESA as an implementing agent. MESA then indicated to Amatole that you can't have both, you can't have MESA as an implementing agent, yet you have appointed the main contractor. Therefore, MESA then did not take that offer of being appointed as an implementing agent. And instead agreed to say, in line with the mandate of MESA, we will support Amatol with the technical capacity through deployment of our engineers and the project management support to make sure that the project is implemented. Now, in May, I think it was around, in May 2015, Sienta, they were running our contract in the Northern Cape, submitted an invoice for payment for work done. And at the time, then the requirement is that you must also submit, you must have a valid tax clearance before MISA can pay you. And their tax clearance, which they had submitted to MESA during procurement, had expired. And then MESA then required them to submit a new tax clearance before they could engage. They submitted the new tax clearance at Shepherdson. And at the time, MESA had appointed a service provider who was helping MESA with due diligence for all compliance documents and the procurement that is happening at MESA. Then we then had to verify that tax clearance, whether it is valid or not valid, in line with the procedures that have been set at MESA. The report of the due diligence indicated that, no, this tax clearance certificate is not valid, it was not issued by SAR, according to the SAR's form. And this then raised eyebrows to the MESA leadership, saying, then this is not valid. How did they get the first tax clearance? Let's also check the first year test clearance that they used to support the athletes at Mesa. And then we ran that as well and the report came back saying this death clearance was not issued by SARS, it's therefore not valid. And then we said, okay, let's write to SARS officially. Now the accounting office of SARS officer wrote to the accounting office of SARS to say we're producing report that say the following death clearances are not valid. Can SARS leave a confirming writing with the signature of the authorized person in SARS? Because what we had from the service provider were print out from SARS system. Then indeed SARS wrote, I think the general manager responsible for that administration wrote on behalf of Mr. Moyani, who was the then commissioner, and confirmed that these two tax clearance certificate numbers are not valid or not issued by SARS. Then MISA wrote a letter to CNL Group to say this is what has transpired. We're giving you 14 days to explain yourself and show us why you should not cancel the contract. And simultaneously, we said we're suspending the implementation of the project, pending finalization of the tax clearance issue. And then in that 14 days, they then responded on the last day, but not necessarily addressed the issue of the tax clearance, but alleged that they were being singled out and so forth. And they dispute what is being said, and they are ready to challenge me. And then we then said, okay, let's change it to the Office of the State Attorney. We briefed the minister then, Mr. Prime. We then took the matter to the Office of the State Attorney, and then with the intention to seek immediate termination of the contract. That was our instruction. Then also the Taylor Chain then briefed the senior counsel to handle the matter on our behalf. SC and Moss in person. And then Moss then provided a legal opinion on the way forward in handling the matter. One, to the effect that by law, MISA cannot unilaterally terminate the contract. To terminate the contract, you require the court, you have to seek a declaratory order to declare the contract invalid. Void up the mission, because if we terminate, that will amount to self-help. And to maintain us in the same opinion, they proffered the fact that this contract is left with in the month of two. Going to court might not be in the interest of MISA. Instead, advise that you must seek a mutual termination of the contract. And then a roundtable discussion was called, held in the first three chambers between the minister's legal team and the Amatole's legal team. And the resolution was indeed reached to mutually terminate the contract. And that MISA will pay Sienza for work done, and then we will then terminate. And also that the technical team of MISA NCNs must do a physical verification of work done and quantify the amount that is due to CN having done a physical verification for MISA to pay for work done. And the team did physical verification with our engineers and the engineers of CNSA, and came to an amount where our team said, look, CNSA, you have worked up to the value of, I think it's 1 million. That was confirmed. However, there were payments that were made to CNSA. There was an advance payment that was made as a result of a request by CNSA for an advance due to cash flow problems because of hard rock that was not anticipated in the Northern Cape. So they were given an advance for that. And also, the appointment letter had a provision that 10% of the budget is set aside to cover the scoping of the work, the project implementation plan, and site adaptation. Now, on conclusion of those works, MISA paid the end of the 10%. Now, when the contract was being terminated, the contractor was at about 50% in terms of the completion of the project. But there will be 10% of the total value. Now, MISA had to then claw back the difference because now they had what was there for due for them was 10% of the value of the work done. So that much has then triggered a dispute between CNSA and MISA. CNSA challenged MISA on the basis that no, they believe that 10% payment was due to them because it's in terms of the appointment letter. And then the other hand, MISA is saying 10% was due in as far as you completing the work, but they have not completed the work. Therefore, the difference, we have to close the work. Then they then declare the dispute, and arbitration was then assault. They then invoked the provisions of the contract for arbitration. Then arbitration proceedings ensued, and advocate Ellis, the Brooklyn Chambers in Pretoria, was then agreed by the parties, all the parties, as the arbitrator on the matter. Then advocate Ellis then sought assistance of engineering experts, which were then appointed through the assistance of the SAICEN, South African Council of Engineers, and they recommended an engineering firm who then gave experts to assist advocate Ellis. And then again, then there was then a guidance by advocate Ellis that there must be a joint marriage by the parties. I'm giving this detailed unfortunately because the presentation I realized myself didn't get into the details that are necessary. That our experts and their experts and the experts representing the arbitrator must then do the verification of the two sides busy, quantification, come back and advise, and then the advocate will then, on the basis of that, make a ruling. Our expert and the expert of the and chair, including the expert appointed by the arbitrator, came to a common conclusion that Sienda owes Mr. Mann. But then Sienda had then an issue with that and started to fight with their lawyers, and then they terminated their lawyers, they did not pay them. They did not pay the advocate who was representing them. Then the matter was stalled. Then we then tried to push to say, Mr. Pig, let's go ahead even without Sienna. Then there was a question of who then paid for the legal fees, because the applicator had to be paid 50-50 by both parties to pay for the other side. And later we took a resolution that we will then pay if Sienna are not coming to the party. Then the application must proceed. And then we then advise the council to proceed. And that matter now is pending. We are waiting for a date from an advocate in terms of that. But in the matter in future, we have got a counterclaim there for the claim or for the counterclaim. And there were money due to CN in terms of the retention, which are required in terms of the construction contract. So we didn't pay them the retention amount. Also, there were certificates which were due to CN for payment for work done to the value of 6.1 million. Which also we had did not pay to CN. Pending the finalization because we said I'm not going to pay this money because we believe that we need to do a set off so that Mr. John goes in the process. The CN has been fighting that and recently now I believe when we said we must go ahead with that. They moved and appointed the advocate Peru. Yeah, to then sit back them on the matter. So our advocate and advocate Peru were then dealing with the matter and also engaging with us in trade so that we can have a date where we can the application with the state. That is as far as this matter chair is concerned. And I must then indicate, Chairperson, that in 2014, when Minister Gordhan joined MESA, he conducted forensic investigation on all major contracts in the Department of Production. As you know, MESA was established in 2012, but started to be operational in 2013. And this contract was among those that were numbered. And of course, the report chair highlighted two things with regard to this contract, which I want this committee to be aware of. That when this contract was initiated, initially was for dry toilets only, and there was a small component which was to be a water pump system, and a small component which was to be a urine diversion system, UDS. Now, during the process of evaluation, when we evaluated the contract, there was a change that in the Northern Cape, instead of doing DLPA, let's call the contract the water bonds. And the contract itself, which was at the time, was DLPA. Then, MISA, then, with the advice of the supply chain, issued a tender notice to all the contractors who had submitted to indicate that there is a change in terms of the requirement and the Northern Cape. The majority of contracts of the toilets will be water pond, and there will be a few to the UTS, that is the Urine Diversion System, and there will be no more DIT. This implied that the requirements have to be relooked. And they were relooked, Chair. And then the contractors were then required to submit CIGP grading and other requirements, which were not in the initial scope. And the reason for that, Chair, is that UIT toilets don't require CIGP by nature. So the default construction. But once it's construction is still be then required. Now the report then said no, Mr. and the foreign. When you became aware that now there was a change, you should not have issued the tender notice. Because the tender was advertised as IT. Should have instead it and just the time. Now I want to admit up front, Chairperson, that from this side, we dropped the portal, did not cancel the contract and that the time. Instead, we did a tender notice. A tender notice which is done normally in procurement when you need to clarify certain things that need to be clarified in a tender. But because of the magnitude of the change of scope, we agreed that indeed we should have cancelled and that which I did not do so. But that now in hindsight, when you read the report of the commission, the map indicates Jefferson that yes, at the time, because MISA was new, established no system, nothing. We're starting to put the system. And also, and so there will be a question, why MISA did not kick up that the tax is invalid at the point of procurement? Again, Chair, the point of procurement is not kick it up because at the time MISA didn't have a service provider to do due diligence. So we didn't do it before appointment. But the evaluation committee recommendation was that a due diligence has to be done after appointment. And then Mr. read the process and appointed a service provider to assist with the due diligence. And due diligence was conducted. And the report of the due diligence, unfortunately, Chairperson, did not pick up the issue of the tax clearance, the first due diligence. Instead, pick up the issues around the directors, criminal records, and so forth. And hence, then it was not picked up, but we were able to pick it up far later when we were verifying the renewed tax clearance. And coming to the amateur side, Chairperson, to indicate that when we became aware of this, we advised Amatole immediately. They immediately suspended the contract as well and initiated the down process. And I understand the matter went to court, the matter went to court, and the CSAP lost, and the contract was declared invalid. And then public project as well got involved in Amatole and investigated this transaction, and they issued a report to Amatole which unfortunately I don't have an opportunity to talk to it. But they did, Amatole did send me an image with a reporter image to me that indicating the progress on the implementation of the report of the public project. And also forensic investigation and attack was also commissioned by Treasurer on the matter of Amatole, and Amatole advised me that they received that as well. And they have started to implement the recommendation in the report. They have opened cases, criminal cases, and the hawks are involved in the matter. And the matter has been handled through the office of that. And from Mr. Sides, Chair, when we became aware of this fraudulent tax clearance, we immediately opened the criminal case at the Kitchen police station. So that matter is one of the matters that have been handled by the office. And also, over and above that, Chair, when we were doing the condemnation, you see, sir, in our annual report, we are indicating that Mr. has an irregular expenditure of so much. And most of it, which arose out of this report, we then, as a condition of pleasure, to consider the condemnation, you must have a case number that you have handed over for the forensic report to Hawks for inquiry or investigation. Now we then handed over all the forensic reports to Hawks so that Hawks could then, if they are in the case, you know, in terms of the criminal activity, that Hawks will then process that. So sitting where we're sitting, then the matters relating to this are before Hawks. And then this then application matter, which is still pending with regard to the whether Mr. Oates and or not. Thank you very much, Chairperson. And I don't let me just talk to this because the explanation is never realized, it's just too high level, and I apologize to the Chairperson for that.
Yes, I'm honorable for Perman. I know you live in Bangladesh service. I see your hand. I see honorable Green. I see honorable Kaya. Honorable GG. Okay. So those are the ends.
Thank you, Chairperson. In Afrikaans, we have a saying, it's mosse na die maal. And the best English version is, it's a day late and a dollar short. In this case, 185 million short. When we study, they tell us that during the procurement management processes, EPs, people process and paperwork. Now, stakeholders need to have a kind of professional accountability. And we cannot shift the blame and responsibility. So I want to know who is liable within MISA itself, who failed to adhere to the legislative processes, And during the process, there needed to be a review phase that includes vetting before you order, obtain, and pay. And I know during the paperwork, there needed to be analysis of the vendor and some supplier research. So I want to know who's liable, who didn't do their job. And after the physical verification, how many VIPs were completed and up to standard in both ZF and Pixie, and how many other tenders involved seeing the group as a preferred bidder? And then Sienza wants 48 million for engineering services, which means they want to be paid at a higher rate in the level of the subcontractors. I want to know what you're doing about that. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Chair. The questions just asked by my colleague is very, very important. She's taken some of the things that were in my head, and I hope that they can answer those three pertinent questions. My question is, aside from discovering that the initial tax clearance certificate was fraudulent, when was the first instance, if any, where you discovered that performance was a problem? So performance as opposed to compliance with legislation. When did you realize that performance was a problem, if at all? The second question is, are you considering approaching the High Court just to have this contract set aside initially? To take arbitration off of the table and put it in the court's hands to find a just and equitable remedy. Because remember, you explained to us that you obtained this legal opinion that said you can't unilaterally terminate, and then you waited and you came to an agreement to end it. But then you are still bound to this arbitration. If you go to the High Court, you get an order setting aside the whole thing. Arbitration is not on the table. It will be the court that will decide who gets what, who is paid what. Lastly, Chair, this Blue Nightingale, which Blue Nightingale is in fact this group, what is it called? Sienza. It's the same thing. So this Blue Nightingale case is very, very important. And let's just set aside, Chair, for the last point, let's set aside the controversy of the case. The judgment has got profound implications for how organs of state interpret these piggyback tenders. Because we know in government, piggyback tenders have been, and let me just define that, Chair. So if there is a tender awarded by one organ of state, Section 110 Red Book Regulation 32 of the MFNA allows a second organ of state to become part of that contract and to procure services, the same services on the same contractual terms and the same price as the contract between the first organ of state. And it's a bit of a complicated subject. This judgment says that the second organ of state cannot conclude an independent contract with that service provider. It has to happen within the four corners of the contract between the service provider and the first organ of state. And it sounds extremely technical. But because this bypasses competitive bidding processes, it's very important to comply with it. And we know that service providers and municipalities will use these technicalities to their own advantage. So, the question is, have you ensured that where you as MISA stand in Section 110 Regulation 32 contracts, that those piggyback contracts do not fall foul, as did the contracts in this Sienza case? In other words, are you taking proactive steps to implement this precedent that has been set in the Blue Nightingale Sienza case? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Two questions. very short chat. They are directed to Minister. Are you satisfied with the amount of work that CS have did in terms of the toilets that they had to build? What amount can you keep in terms of the number of toilets that they built there? And because I didn't get the detail about that. And what quality is there to assure that the money that was spent by this seemingly corrupt company is going to be? Secondly, you spoke about the tender was issued without cancelling the contract and so forth. And then, secondly, you also spoke about the fact that you didn't pick up at first in terms of the certificates across the quality. In terms of the SARS report, and then you went on to elect a service provider. I'm not sure who was the service provider and what was the criteria of electing the service provider, and what happens to the service provider when he actually doesn't deliver them, because you say that he did not pick up for the first time until he went to start up. Those are the two questions for now. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Two different areas. The snow piece, I think it is that he admits that the profit was. Now, I want perhaps to be educated a bit. In the bidding process, is the due process undertaken after having awarded the contract? If not, was it deliberate to drop the ball for another different outcome in this process? Now, when I'm actually negotiating with you guys for piggybacking on this contract, the specification of your contract was totally different. That was not the thing. It's waterfall than that of waterfall. Why were you allowing Ahmad Fole to participate in this? In the view that this is your day, that the power to this contract is a waterfall. Why did you allow Amateur to participate if you had good intentions of providing this service? Of the 66,700 units that were targeted, how many units through this Section 82 contract in Amatole were achieved? How many units? And here I heard in another report that the pricing of each unit was 6,000. Now we're at 66. And then calculating that cost And Amatope had breached this front loading from his MIG before it could be transferred to Amatope by the development of Southern Africa. Right? They sold the front loading to address this engine program, deep sanitation program. But also, in the meantime, they actually, the Director of Engineering submitted a memo for breaching this loan from GBC from the IMG. And I guess that Amatole paid 94 million. Here's a match. It's part of your 10% site establishment and all those propositions. Was it indeed this 94 million? Remember that in our report you have this 8 million advance. You appoint a contract and you give it an advance. Well, your former CEO in agreeing to this, because we are now in issues, in agreeing to this attestation, really with good intentions, for a good outcome. Wait now, wait over, my love.
No, 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 actually. Contract was not renewed in 2015. So we no longer with me. And in terms of how many toilets were completed in the match on the, we have to get the details, just as unfortunately we didn't get the details. But I know that GPSA, because they did, before they could pay a much of it, they would go on site and do verification of the toilets that are there. And so there is a report I know that can be shared. I don't have it with me because we're not necessarily ending that much of it.
Sorry, sir. Sorry. I don't want to let this thing pass. But you paid that company. Well, didn't Mr. Pay that cover?
No. I'm trying to explain because there are two contracts. Mr. Paid for the contract in the Northern Cape. Now, there is a ticket breaking that the Northern Cape was talking about. In Amatole, Mr. was not involved in this. Amatole was not running that contract. Now, I'm trying to answer the question that Narabin Kunda is raising about how many children are happening in Amatole. I'm still going to come to the Northern Cape question in terms of how many were done, what the quality of. So I'm saying in Amatole, I'm not in a position to provide the details. Lest Chair, I mislead the committee, which I didn't want to. But we can get those details in writing.
Because then close this value. So that we must complete this message for the benefit of the new. You know this issue of the agreement between Mr. and Amatole. And then it's common cause that the agreement was drafted on the tender system. And subsequently emailed on the 10th of September. This is a confidential contract, right?
In terms of
decision making whether we agree with it or not. And we notice that are we agreed, we say we don't have objections, I'm not telling you. And of course, giving them an opportunity to go and apply their mind to the contract, apply their mind to the scope of work that Amatole will require this contract to implement the project. If I'm saying I'm not satisfying through you, Chair.
That's a good one. Chair. Similar. Because in our bidding process, you went to certification committee. What was the certification say in your bid? This is what I've won. And you are indicating in your report that there was even not your study undertaken. What was the intention of doing that? And we're just plugging this thing. It's a normal thing. And who say that this is inside? No, it's not. That's why I was asking. What was the hidden intention in accepting this request of participation by Amatole, knowing it that your CL direct a waterborne contract in the Northern Cape? This is ordinary FBIP. And we have to take, when we don't do a geostatic study, the technology of the area is to focus on everything. And then we want the contract. And who agree that they must participate. And within a space of 3 or 4 months, CLSI is paid, 94 million. We said this establishment, such establishment. Yeah. 31 is crazy.
Again, that indicated. In a difficult situation, saying that I was not part of the decision making in Amazon in as far as the appointment process is concerned, and I'm not in a position to articulate, you know, what motivated Amazon. I was just talking from the minister's point of view.
Then you're not following the supply chain. That's the issue that this is is raising him. I think he also raised his hair who were the teachers involved. And still in the employ of Mecca, apart from the senior woman there. We haven't got that clear, it's coming clear. I'm trying to guide the motion. For those people who are asking Makoma to just a 50, just in my effect. Because even in that investigation that happened, I'm not sure. There are recommendations that I would do somewhere. And there are also recommendations in relation to me that I need to have. So these are the issues that we are. Or the Kamas for the report. I think you can even get from the mere fact that we are actually to allow them to participate in a tender that you know it was, because it was not, isn't that a must be an agreement? Just an accounting officer, whether you are doing it, accounting officer will authorize that whoever they have. It must be in line. So the intention of regular synthesis to apply to both the municipality and any organization. And then I think there are strict requirements that all accounting officers have to follow. That, that. Can you deal with that? If it's a payment made by how much for the you reserve that, how much for the what is going to follow it after that with these issues of the NPA and the also the FIU, and I think we also involve matter. Because the reason why I said earlier, where the DG? Because this report the DG. And then the mere fact that it was also copied to the office of the DG, because DCOP being responsible, whatever, being responsible for municipalities, then you were going to ask that municipality to implement this report by report. Then it was, it has been there in the department since February 2019, we were at the end of 2019. If we didn't even call it here to come in, then the report was to come to the members to you. Then it was going to continue to gather them, and it's a lot and lot of money that I involved. Can the legal advisor write to you and go to the whole caucus of your community because you are going to meet them? Yes. You can write to you, you haven't left any of the people who ask the caucus to give you. So that's the issue that we are trying to deal with in this today. And the issue itself, the term itself, you know it was the reason. It's still going.
Can I respond?
Yes.
Thanks, Chair. As I indicated earlier, Chair, we became aware that the process of the regions are winning the current communication. And at all material times before that, we believe that the process was done in line with the process.
Honorable, did we ask the due diligence
question? Yes, I'm going to respond to the chairperson. And then I'm saying we honestly believe that the process was done in line with the truth. We advertised the tender, we had committee that said it evaluated, the certification committee that looked into the report and took a decision. The issue of why allow Metro Department, again, as I'm indicating, the definition or the interpretation of the regulation itself. Perhaps I might say perhaps was problematic on my side for me to start with, because he talked about similar words, as Mr. Mpunga is saying, similar is not necessarily mean the same. And then now how we then understood the regulation to mean, say if you are doing water, participate on the water contract. If you are doing sanitation, you can participate on the sanitation contract. That is how we then interpreted them, and which term, in hindsight, as I'm acknowledging, saying, having looked into the reports and the view from the other parties, it unfortunately came after we were dramatic, as we were allowed to participate. we acknowledge that in our interpretation, we were wrong. And that's what we are acknowledging. But at the time of taking the decision, we were not aware that similar work necessarily means must be exactly the same. And that's not how the regulation itself suggests. In fact, is one each area which we felt was a gap in the process. Normally, further, I would issue instruction notes to clarify the regulation. But for this one, there was no instruction notes, there was nothing. So that's why I'm saying that we are acknowledging that. And why we did not do, why did you do this? Normally, what is the process? Did you do it before appointment or after appointment? And the normal circumstances, it should be done before appointment. But again, I'm saying at the time, MISA didn't have capacity to undertake due diligence, and it was not part of the MISA standard operating procedures to do due diligence for each appointment that you do before you appoint. Of course, there will be compliance documents, which are called that they must be compulsory for any supplier to get a tender that they must present. That there must be a valid clearance, that they will be indicated, and in this case they were indicated. And the only thing that we did not do before appointment was to say, okay, we submitted all the compliance documents. Let's take them through verification to tell you these documents that you submitted are valid. Which is part, I'm saying, part of the process of the establishment of MISA. There were gaps in terms of our own standard operating procedures. And this part of due diligence was actually not part of the standard operating procedures, but it was a recommendation of the evaluation committee, given the magnitude of the tender, that it must be done. But it was not necessarily part of the policy and procedure of MISA at the time. So I want to explain that it was not like we deliberately decided to bypass the procedure. Then let me then move to the other question. Hoping that
he was 10 yesterday, day of the test.
Honorable Offerman was asking who takes accountability. And of course, situating the basic supply chain processes in terms of procurement and so forth, which we acknowledge. And in this case, again, there were gaps, serious gaps, because Mr. was asking for justice. Even the head of supply chain then was not necessarily the person who had been appointed. It was someone who was seconded to lead supply chain. And we have corrected most of the gaps that were there, and even that person was removed from the position, and the accounting officer then was removed. The accounting officer was removed, which means actions were taken to then make sure that we correct the situation. And the CFO as well, who was the head of the finances, the minister, and also the chairperson of the adjudication committee, also his contact as well, that it was not removed. And also, furthermore, chair, the matters were then handed over to HOPS, so that indicated. And there are a subject of the HOPS as well, talking. And so I depend on the supplier research. I agree, and I'm saying these are procedures that ought to be there, which were put into place now. to make sure that similar cases don't arise in the Chairperson. Hence, Chairperson, we see that since 2017, we have not yet in a single recognized community. Since 2017 until now, we have not yet included a single recognized community because we learned from our mistakes in terms of the processes as minister. The supply, and then there was the issue of how many toilets were completed in Northern Cape. We have a report that we'll share with you. Of course, they were verified, checked, I think, by the engineers of Minister. We had a consulting engineer was running the project at Different Africa. So they were the project managers in this case. And they, together with the engineers which were appointed through the application process, was the process of visiting all sites to verify whether the claim by CNSI is valid, indeed the work that they've done amount to the amount that they've been paid. That is what we have, and the quality as well was confirmed. There was no finding on the quality of work done. I must say the Northern Cape has a very strong project management capacity to manage the project. So we don't have the problem with regard to that. But I cannot talk for the quality in our choice because we're not the one managing the project. And the rate, besides the rate of the subcontractor, I think you get it in this discussion, but I think it talks to the CNSI rate and besides the subcontractor that work on. And of course the issue that CNSI was raising to say the rate that they were given by MISA or awarded was lower than the rate that when they had to augment their capacity in Northern Cape through subcontracting work on, they had to pay more. Now they were demanding that we review the rate and pay them the rate that they were paying the work on, which is one of the issues that they are raising in the application, which we said is not going to happen. Work on the subcontractor, we have a subcontractor work on, therefore we're not going to get involved. And then there was a question as to at what point did we realize that there was a challenge with the performance. We realized that during implementation, one, the contractor experienced serious capacity, in particular with regard to machinery, because of the hard work in Northern Cape. But they didn't have that capacity because of the hard work situation. Now they needed to subcontract companies that would be able to have the necessary machinery to deal with that. And then the line of job process. And again, Chair, acknowledging the MISA lapses in the process, that we ought to have done the geotechnical studies before issuing out this tender to understand the condition and the topography and everything. And this was not done. Now, we have a contractor that is experiencing the condition for the first time on site. Now they can't move, but they have to do a lot of advantage to the test. And then they find themselves in a position where now there is a challenge. And now, that's where we then had this problem on the actual. But I must say then they had to get capacity to deliver the project in line with the contract. And from our side, in terms of the performance of the contract on the ground, then the quality of the work, there was no finding, no question, because we had a very strong project management capacity to manage the project. Uh, Are we considering to take the matter to the High Court to set aside? I think let's advance this recommendation, Madam Premier, honestly, because the conduct itself is no longer there. It was mutually terminated. There's no contract happened then. However, there's a dispute about the payment, which was part and parcel of the mutual termination agreement. That means that we paid and passed it, but subject to verification and confirmation by our engineer that indeed that payment is due. Now, the only dispute around whether what they are claiming is due or not, and our side will have got very strong strength for other subjects that is not due. And also we have withheld payment for them. Again, even though we don't pay them, they want us to pay them because they feel that it's difficult for us to withhold payment. But we agree that until that time, because the contractor itself tries to pay them, then there's still this matter pending. Now when you have to go and recover the money, it might take, we might end up losing the money because it's not paid. But I think the matter, the point that Amara was really raising in Jefferson, the point that we must then consider and see if given the dispute, that the dispute therefore not invalidate the mutual termination. So we have to get legal advice and see our advice on the matter, but we'll take it. Of course, we take the point about the abuse of equity-backing provisions. And again, the court case on the screen was an eye-opener for not just NESA, but for the whole of government. Because it was for the first time where there was a judgment on the equity-backing. And they sort of clarified even the conditions upon which you can use piggybacking. It's not there, as I was saying, it's not that another issue with such note to clarify how piggybacking works and all those things. And then we took the court case and then as then a guide in terms of how we use Regulation 32. So far we don't have any issues around Regulation 32 from the Minister for German point of view. So that the whole issue we that we can say we have got this issue now. And on all our procurement, central and public justice process. But I must say it was an eye-opener, not just for us, but for government. But even public subject, I remember when they were representing this much, they asked us for the condition of the Regulation 32 that it must be same amount, same scope of work, the same day. But it was not there. It was not there in the regulation. It was not there. There was no infraction note about it. You know, only this court case that clarified how you handle it. And again, the subject has to come in and then guide the government in terms of it, because the regulation was still there and it has not addressed in such a time. Are we satisfied with the amount of work that was done by CNJ? Yes, as I'm saying, the test is verified and the results are still sent in to and again, because we have a strong project management capacity to make sure that we take quality. This is a mix-up cross toilet in the Northern Cape of the first toilet. Notwithstanding the capacity of CNJ in the fire, deliver of the work in the Northern Cape. And again, it's in Amazon. With regard to the service provider who has been through diligence, what did we do? What do we do, Jefferson? Of course, when you appoint a service provider, you give chance of reference, you go and do this and then they the commentary reports. That led to go back to the office and to check the first thing. What were the terms of reference given to the service provider was doing due diligence? Why they did not pick up the tax clearance issue against him? So we'll get the report and then provide it to the committee if there's a particular thing. And the service provider chair who was doing the duties and Parkway, called Parkway Consulting. I think I responded to all the questions. Okay, why appoint a contract and give advance? I think that's the question that I asked. Again, that indicated another thing that the issue of the hard rock, which then was made as a motivation by the contractor to meet that disabled. They said, see that hard rock here, which is impacting on our cash flow, we need to get specialized machinery for drilling of this rock and so forth. Mr. Kennedy has put advance payment, which will be paid, which will be closed back from the payment certificate, which was due. So that was the reason. I think that. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
I have noted Honorable Kuhu, and she also make a follow-up. You
will come to the report, please. Okay, sir. The minister did not respond to the question or answer the question that were asked by Honorable Kunta that if the BRT toilet were cost 6,000 per minute, why over? And consider, I'm checking on the first place that they were to build 66,000 new toilets, which to the cost of 621 million. Then now, if you turn 66,000 by 6,000, the pricing here is double. Also, I need to know who are the people who are doing the pricing of this.
Can I also get clarity on this room? Besides the government can instantly all the new CIP processes which are made in the community, how many of these things will be in the room? Can I also get clarity as to whether there has been any irregularities in the tender process for the appointment of contractors for the supply and distribution of the in the Netherlands? And then in Mr. Q, one wants to get clarity. Is it necessary to conduct a full investigation into the auditing and division in particular? And the I'm trying to understand. The other issue that doesn't come clearly is also the presentation and what the other colleagues have asked. We had this question. Was the adjudication committee, what the recommendation in respect of the award of the government, and she goes into this in the price in relation to the construction of both VIP toilets or water bonds, units for the water bowl unit on it. One to come to the room. The other issue that we can consider for us is one. Before contributing to the request by the Amazon district municipality to participate in this conference between yourself and the community, it needs to specify that the so-called rules and benefits for the amateur district municipality are the same as those applied to the Northern Cape. And that the contract price and donation way is the same. We are raising it because if you need resolution 22 for the municipal supply chain management regulation, the basis on which amateur district municipality participated in the contract between MISA and CIEDA, as honorable DDSS, does not apply to the amateur district municipality for court group resolution. Because the issue is to say that there was no clarity amateur. That's a resolution that is very clear that this was not clarity. So in all fairness, Treasury tries to give you a resolution to clarify the conditions of the act. Then you want them to further issue further directive on the straightforward matter. And then you want to tell us just decided to give each own your own interpretation to suit your need at the time. Because the lawyers will say that there was no directive. If there was no directive, then why did you allow it to happen? So we are raising this because, like you are saying, I'm glad that they admitted that the same is in a record. And this is the way you are doing this matter. And this was done in 2015, the court. In between 2016 and now, because where I'm seated now, how many other Section 22 projects do you allow to other entities? It might not be amateur, they are doing. Other municipalities where I'm seated. So is this the only one that you have done? Without this clarity that you say that Treasury is going to meet your rating. How many other 32 projects like this? There was some way where in the department where this regulation 32 was being abused left and right. So I think before we even go further, you must take us to a confidence to say these are the number of the regulation 32 contracts that we have. And we are happy that these are the contracts that to a certain solution, or they are all a product of ISAL, because there was no clarity, no directive, further directive, because once the Treasury issues the regulation, it's very clear. Normally what I write about the government, you are even saying especially for the local government here, it's over-regulated because we find the situation when you do that, say, we should issue the product. So that is to clarify the facts that are there. That's to clarify them. So the regulation was solely made to clarify the process. How is it done? All those kinds of things. And then the other issue that I raised in the consideration of our big people and the report, remember the issue of the contingency, like the issue of church video. That we put there on the list. And I'm raising it. We are here because of that. That's the reason why we brought that. Otherwise, if it was not that, we wouldn't have been here today. Because you are saying after the termination of the contract, Sienna is claiming 48 million. Yeah? And yet, in your annual report, you reflect the contingency liability of 12 million. This matter. What is the reason from the discrepancy? I know when you responded to this matter, you said the likelihood that they are not going to get their money. But the mere fact now that they have also, they seem to have abandoned, according to you, their legal proceedings as well. So that's the issue that I was saying. Say, for instance, then, with the cost that meant the likelihood of the and I think that was the basis of the argument as well. But then just contingently, I think if you put 12 million on a claim that is around 58 million, that's the issue that one wanted to raise. Honourable Hockerman, your hand was up to pull up.
Thank you, Chair. Carlos, I wanted to know what you asked about how many other tenders that CNW has referred to was involved in. And then I just want to get clarity. The honourable did a calculation now, was that 6,000 per unit? Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I'll tell you much as I can. And I guess with regard to the 6,000 units, that was truly a much older process in terms of how they did the pricing. And again, I will not be in a position now to face the committee what were the relevant considerations by Amatione to arrive at 6,000. But we can get that information for the committee, and we can write on it and request that they give us a report so that we will. I don't want to motivate the committee and say it's able now to pay the election. We the committee bears with me with regard to that particular one. And besides Northern Cape and the same case, how many of you have been told that Mr. Minister? First thing, since Mr. was established, we were only given work as an investing agent for that project. That's not the only project where we have done that picture. It's only the number. We have done and that we have purchased as an investing agent. We don't have any other. And also, in terms of the Mr. I don't know what you're saying, but that contract, there's no other contract that is that one. Awarded here on. And I'm not aware also if CNDA is having any other contract or they've had any other contract in municipality for similar work or any other work. So I'm not in a position to advise. I'm only aware about the Amatione and the Northern Cape contract.
And then the second thing, regulated institute, any other contract that is that you've done in that
system?
How many of them?
When
they
use the
regulated
institution, how many agreements do you use? When Mr. allowed, we have not necessarily allowed, of course, if I may respond, there is what we call framework contract, which is like transversal contracts that national treasurer issues for government. And through a memorandum of agreement between NISA and the Office of the Chief of the Office, NISA was then tasked with the responsibility to put up a range of framework contracts for municipal goods and services. Part of our APP, Chair, we've been talking about it. And those contracts, Chair, the enabling provisions in law, both the transversal contracts and the which are done national and the provincial government, is regulation 16A.6C of the PSMA regulation, civil regulation, and regulation 32 of the MFMA regulation. But National Treasurer has then issued standards for infrastructure procurement, which make provision for putting up of framework contracts by government to assist in procurement, to assist in terms of ensuring that we benefit from the economies of scale as government, and also assist in terms of efficiencies in terms of procurement. So Mr. has put a range those framework contracts, the program that we are running upon which municipalities may then place orders. So those are done in terms of regulations to the ACs and regulations to the while the pre-application water pond only or both dry sea water pond, that indicated the channel itself was initially VIP, then there was a little bit of water pond sanitation, and there was a little bit of UTS. And then there was then a decision by the Interministerial Committee of Minister, which was charged with the responsibility of managing the packet application, to say in the Northern Cape, we must do water bonds in the main and then the UTS. So, no VIPs. So the application, therefore, the DAP application on VIP, on water bond and the UTS, the urine diversion system.
But then, what steps have the department taken to that decision? So I think we can close it with the view that we are still going to talk to Amatosi, the NPA and the MPA and their office, that they are going. I think they send us a list of the items that they want to see. It's one of these reports that we are going to deal with. And let's go with the serious issues that they want to see. So they are going to deal with this matter.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to know, Chairperson, is it possible that I can get the feasibility study for the Northern thing? Because the fixed child is stuck in my head now. Because if you buy a dual top water efficient system now, a plumber for it is 535 more. If you hire a plumber for a 3-hour job, it's 2,000. If you take that 190 million and divide it by 6,000, you could have built
37,240.
Thank you. But that money was only used for
5 establishments.
Very expensive. 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 For Northern Cape. And if I was saying, Honorable Chairman, of course we can share with you, we would have to go to our archives to do the tokens of the work. And I was not thinking to myself that it's done for this work. That's even admission of time that I really need. That we ought to have done a geological study to understand the condition, the geography, the whatever, to inform our pricing of the tender. But this was not done. And I'm saying, upfront, I'm making interesting that there were weaknesses in the processes at NISA at the time. And then I'm not like trying to justify that offered money. And yet I have been established in the with no policies, procedures, we are still using interim procurement regulations that were done with that GPS with them. And there were no standard operating procedures in terms of what do you do, you know, before you appoint a service provider? We rely mainly on the existing law in terms of supply chain, but not necessarily on policies and procedures on how to then run the business of procurement. So this created this a gap in process, which we are admitting, and we're made huge strides to correct it. And again, as I said, hindsight teaches you things that, and that you will regret later, if not then. But we can share with you what was then done in terms of coaching of the web, which then translated into, you know, the toilet and the feet. Of course, there was a number of reviews of what toilet portrait was created, because there was a change from VIP, which was to do a number of tests of 11,000. I'm saying it's under correction. But now when you then decide to take much more bomb, many changes now to the feature in terms of price. Then you have to now, we ended up talking about awarding for 5,000 if I'm not mistaken. But we will then share the details with the members. But acknowledging the weaknesses, of course, from our side, etc. Shall you also ask the question?
I did answer,
Chair. The vetting, yes. Yeah, as I said, Chair, the vetting, it was not in the policies and procedures, then we'll not have an answer. But it was the recommendation of the evaluation committee, given the magnitude of the conduct today, there will need to be a due diligence done, but it was not done before appointment.
Unless it means that they that the agenda didn't have special, you see, even when you do your policies, they must be in line with them. So you need to share, you need to have that supply chain to meet with them in 2015 so that we do that. And I think some people must take responsibility.
No, we'll and again, ministers, they never said, don't.
You tell us in 2015 who are the members of the Peace Specification Committee. Next, that's number one. Who are the members of the Peace Evaluation Committee? And who are the members of the Peace Evaluation Committee in 2015? And then you give it up to now in 2019. Who are the members of the Peace Specification Committee? Who are the members of the Peace Evaluation Committee? And who are the members of the Peace Evaluation Committee? We want to do our own analysis of the funds. We give us that information. That also deals with your supply chain policy then in 2018 and the supply policy in 2019. Then, you tell us who was a CFO, whatever. These committees, they even show you, you give us their decision. Because it's incumbent to everybody, a member of the senior management committee, this evaluation, this specification committee up to. So we'll know in their title, we put them with their title. So that then when we look at that, because I have policy was deliberately designed to flout the procurement procedures, procurement supply chain. So it was deliberately crafted to do that. And then we want also to see who was the appointing authority of that particular policy. That was not in line with the principles prescribed by the law. This will progress. Remember, we're still going to continue with this. This matter is ongoing. There are those that still want to talk to on the public, protesters, represent the matter. But given the time, so it's work in progress. We just wanted to start this is the committee to show that the matter of there's no, we're still going to do also oversight this process in the Nazarene case and the Eastern case. Because there's a public outcry that to say, well, isn't this because there's been a lot of money involved and that didn't actually reach its intended beneficiary. Same to say some interveners that have been to benefit out of this instead of the actual beneficiary. It's a lot of money committed that is involved. So this is the matter that we are still going to, because like we are saying, we'll call you amateur the one meeting again, because you have been consistently saying that we cannot answer on behalf of amateur. So those are the issues that we will deal with that, so that we can close, still have 30 more items, and we will be done by one. So this, honorable
Chair, I just want to add to your list. I think a report about the number of units built in the Northern Cape and a breakdown of the cost of those units.
You want to put that money, so you can have the report to the the methods that we face in the federal and of the committee until we finally can resolve that. Okay, so those are the issues that we will do. It's a method now.
Thank you.